If you are going to be a disciple of Christ, you must be baptized. It is a mandate. We've been talking about discipleship, and discipleship and relationships go hand in hand. If you've been here for this series, if you've been at this church any length of time at all, you're going to hear relationships are the key to Christianity. In other words, relationships are the key to life. If you don't have the right relationship with God, or you don't have the right relationships with others, then you're not a success. But if you have the right relationship with God and you have the right relationship with others, then your life is going to be a success. Now, what I'm saying here is at the end of your days, when someone does your funeral, they need to know whether or not you were in the right relationship with God and whether or not you were in the right relationships with others. I heard of a fellow that really had a business partner that he just hated. The two of them split ways and they just hated each other. And I heard he went to the funeral. And I said, well, why did you go to the funeral? I thought you hated him. He says, because I wanted to make sure he was dead. And I cannot think of anything worse than people coming to my funeral to make sure that I'm dead. But in order to have the right relationship with others, we've been talking about that for quite a while and how you do that and how that works. But I want to talk to you today about the right relationship with God. See, in order to have the right relationship with God, it is not just about showing up here on Sunday morning. I know a lot of people will tell me, they'll be going through problems in their life, and they'll be talking about things, and they'll say, well, you know I need to get back to going to church. And I want to say to them, no, you need to get back to knowing God. That's what it's all about. It's not about being here on Sunday morning, because I've been a Christian long enough and I've seen enough. I know that some of you in here today are just here because of a habit, because you had to be, because your spouse made you or your mom and dad made you. But I'm here to tell you that that does not count as relationship with God. And Paul was telling the Roman church about their relationship with God because some of them were a little confused about what is going to happen. Where are things going to be? And he starts talking to them about the fact that, hey, you can't keep going on sinning. Don't you know that when you were buried with Christ in baptism, you are buried into his death? You are no longer living to yourself, but you've got this new life you've got to live without sin. Now, what he wasn't saying here is you're never going to sin, but what he's trying to get to is we have a new way of living and we have a new master. And when we mess up, we turn around and make it right the best way we can and we move forward. But one of the words that he uses in there is baptism, and I've had a lot of friends over my years of experience talk to me about baptism. A lot of them are denominational preachers. A lot of them are people that come from different backgrounds, whether they were baptized as a baby or baptized as an adult or baptized into a church. I've had a lot of discussions about that. And today I want to talk to you about baptism, not because it's something you do, but because it's how you establish your relationship with God. You see, when it comes to having a relationship with God, you have a relationship with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except through me. He's saying there's not many paths. He is saying there is one way to get to God the Father, and that is through Jesus. And then we find out that once we receive Jesus through baptism, we gain the Holy Spirit. So we have the right relationship with God. We have the right relationship with Jesus, the Son. And then we receive the Holy Spirit that helps guide us through this life. So why baptism? Well, first of all, there is a mandate. There is a mandate that Jesus said to us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And I want you to notice that a mandate is something that has to be done. It is an order or a command. It's not just a suggestion. It's not just, well, you know, if you want to get to it, you can get to it, you can do it. It is something that must be done. Look at what he says in Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. Jesus then came to them and said, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations," maybe baptizing them. No, it says make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You see, we have a commandment, we have an order that has been given by Jesus to his disciples, and he says you need to teach them to do everything that I've taught you to do. And so this idea of baptism is not just for them, it is the idea of baptism is for all Christians everywhere. If you are going to be a disciple of Christ, you must be baptized. It is a mandate. And a mandate must be obeyed. That's the second blank on the, or the first blank on the second page. A mandate must be obeyed. I heard a story this week about this little boy who was on his tricycle and he was driving around, and a police officer saw him, and he was awfully young to be riding around by himself. So a police officer just parked his car and he watched this kid go around the block over and over and over. And about the fifth time, the police officer decided he was going to find out what was going on. So he went over to the little boy and he says, "Look, I've been watching you, been going around the block, I'm going around the block." And he says, "What's going on here?" He says, "I'm running away from home." And the police officer said, "Well, you're not getting very far." He says, "Yeah, my mom said I can't cross the street without her being here." That little boy knew that she had to be obeyed. And one of the things that there's a show on that my mom and dad like to watch. It's an English show. But from that, my dad has started calling my mom one who must be obeyed, which I think is pretty cool. But I'm not doing it yet. But here's the thing. It has to be obeyed. Acts chapter 22, 15 and 16. "You will be his witnesses to all men on what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." This is what was said to Paul in his conversion, when Paul realized that he was harming the church and he was going after Christians, and he was met with Jesus. He was told to get up and be baptized and wash away your sins. In Galatians chapter 2, 20, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, and the life I live in the body, I live in the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You see, when Paul was baptized, he recognized something. He recognized that when he went into that water, when he made that decision to follow Christ, that he was crucifying himself. And he was no longer going to live for himself, but he was going to live for Jesus. And that is the importance of baptism. Well, if baptism is something we must be obeyed, we also need to know that there is a method to baptism. There is a method to baptism. We can't just say, well, baptism can be whatever we want. And as a matter of fact, I've seen baptisms done in different ways over my years. As a matter of fact, I was watching a movie called Father Stew last night, which was kind of a crazy movie, but somebody suggested that I watch it. If you watch a movie that has religion in it, don't automatically think that I'm going to enjoy it, okay? You got to watch this. So I'm watching Father Stew, and the main character gets baptized, and I'm not going to give you a spoiler alert, but when he gets baptized, he takes off his shirt and they pour water over his head. Well, that is not baptism. Now, water is always involved in baptism. We know that because John chapter 3 in verse 23 says, "Now John also, who was baptizing near Aeon, near Salem, because there was plenty of water and the people were constantly coming to be baptized. You see, water, it requires some water. And it also means the word baptism, it comes from a root word which means to overwhelm. So whenever you hear the word baptism, when you say somebody's baptized by fire, you are saying they are overwhelmed by fire. And the idea behind baptism is you have to be overwhelmed by water. Well, what does that mean? Well, does that mean pouring water over somebody's head is a baptism? No, that's not overwhelmed. Does that mean sprinkling water on someone? That's baptism? No, that is not overwhelmed. The examples that we have of baptism from the New Testament always, always require immersion in water. One example is Acts chapter 8, 36 through 39. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch, and underline these words, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. So we know that baptism is something that God commands. It's a mandate. We know the method of baptism, which is water, and it's being buried in water. But there is meaning behind it. I know that every wedding that I have ever done, there has been some kind of meaning behind the wedding. One of the weddings I did recently, I did on a Sunday afternoon, and I asked them, is there any way that we can move this to a Saturday? Because I didn't want to be out of town to do this wedding. They said, no, we picked this particular day because it's the day we met. There's meaning behind it, and there's meaning behind baptism. Baptism is not just something we do to get you wet and make you look ridiculous. I know when I first started thinking about baptism, I grew up in the church. I've seen baptisms my whole life. But when I really started thinking about baptism and why in the world are we baptizing people, it just makes them look ridiculous. You know, I look pretty decent until you dunk me under the water and then have me come out. But when I come up, my hair is my, I got water, I'm coughing, I'm spitting stuff out of my mouth. And if you really think about it, look at the person next to you and just think about what they look like when they're all wet. It's not pretty, is it? Why would God have us do something like that? Well, here's the reason why God has us do something like that. Is because there's meaning behind it. It symbolizes the death of Jesus and the death of ourselves. It symbolizes the death of Jesus and the death of ourselves. When you are baptized, you're basically, if you're being baptized here, you're standing on this side or on that side, and I bring you down in the water, and when I bring you down in the water, you're basically saying, I am ready to kill myself so that Christ can live in me. That verse where Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. What he is saying is, I am killing myself, I'm crucifying myself, so that I can be buried like Christ was buried, so that I can walk a new life. And I go down into that water, and I have killed myself, just like Jesus killed himself, and I am reenacting the death of Christ and the burial of Christ and the resurrection. It symbolized being buried with Christ so that we can partake in his righteousness. It symbolizes being buried with Christ so that we can partake in his righteousness. We are therefore buried with him through baptism into his death. So when I'm doing that and I'm saying I'm killing myself and I'm remembering what Jesus did for me, I am burying myself in the water and then I am going to be raised to a new life. That's the third point. It symbolizes a new life. I want you to look at these verses. All of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, for we know that our old self was crucified. And then it says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. And then it goes on to say, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So when you go down into the water, this is not so that you can become a member of the North Tampa Church of Christ. This is so that you can belong to the body of Christ. And when you go down in the water, you say, I'm going to crucify myself. I'm not going to live for me anymore. Neil no longer is in control of his life. He is going to kill himself. He is going to be buried like Christ was buried. Now, the good news is I don't hold you under for 3 days. But when you come up out of that water, you are no longer yourself. You have a new life. One of the things that I have enjoyed over the years in baptizing people, when they recognize their sinfulness, when they recognize their need for a Savior, when they recognize their life as they've been living it, has been pretty horrific, and they go into the water and they get buried with Christ in baptism, and they come out and they recognize for the first time they're living a new life, there is some more excitement. I was in Honduras, and this was several years ago. We were building a church down there, and one of the men down there was the preacher for that local congregation, and he'd been talking to some of the people there, and there was a man that was there. And I don't know how he understood that I was the preacher up here, but he wanted me to baptize him, which was a terrific honor for me. And I thought, well, this is an awesome opportunity for me to baptize him. And we found a spot, which was where somebody got their drinking water from. We baptized this man in somebody's drinking water. And we had this little area right here, and I went and I had a translator, and the translator was translating everything. And I did a little brief discussion about what baptism was and why we do it and things like that. And I said in my discussion that this man is dying to himself so that he can live for Christ. And when he goes down in that water, he is killing himself. And then when he comes out, everything in his past has been erased as far as God is concerned. And he is becoming this new creature in Christ. And this guy got so antsy while I was saying all this that I decided I better stop, because he was starting to get a little unnerved. And I looked at him and I said, do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he died to save you from your sins? And he said, yes. Or see. And I said, I'm going to bury you with Christ in baptism now, and you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I put him under the water and I pulled him out. And I've never had this happen before, and I've never had it happen since. But he came up out of the water and he goes, yeehaw! He was getting antsy, as I found out later, he was getting antsy that something would happen to him before he had a chance to participate in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what baptism is about. That's the meaning that is in there. 1 Peter Chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in his great mercies has given us a new birth. Now underline those words, new birth, because I want you to understand something. We are all born again Christians. You cannot be not be an unborn again Christian. I was talking to somebody a few weeks ago, and they found out I was a preacher, and they said, so are you a born-again Christian? And I looked at them, and I said, is there any other kind? Because you cannot be a born-again or not be a born-again Christian. You see, the thing of it is we're all going to be born once. But we're all going to die twice unless we are born again. You see what I'm saying here? If you're not born again through baptism, and that's what baptism is all about, is this new life that we are celebrating. It is that new beginning. If you're not born again, you're going to die twice. The first time you're going to die is going to be the physical death, and the second time you're going to die, it's going to be the spiritual death. And we had this discussion in our discipleship class today that people don't fear the Lord anymore, and I think some of that has to do with the fact that we have so much science that explains everything. There was a time when things like hurricanes happened, and those hurricanes would happen, and people would call it an act of God because there was no explanation of it. And now when it comes time for people having a hurricane or something like that, it's called a natural disaster. And the whole idea behind that is that we have things that we can explain, that we don't fear God anymore. But let me say this to you. All of us are going to die someday. And when we die, we face a judgment. And that judgment is going to be from God in heaven. And He's going to want to know, are you with my child through death and resurrection, or are you not? And I want you to know today that baptism is the most important part of your relationship, beginning your relationship with God, because God wants you to be obedient to Him. And He wants you to be obedient in the method that He decided that you should be obedient. And He wants you to crucify yourself so that you can walk a new life with Him. It doesn't mean your personality goes away. It doesn't mean your family history goes away. But what it means is you have a new director of your life. And it is Jesus Christ. Now, I want to stop right there, because a lot of us in this room have been buried with Christ. A lot of us in here have made that decision. I made that decision 9 years ago. Jan Blackwell and I were talking, we were having a discussion about our baptism, and one of the things that we both talked about is we both got baptized because we feared hell. So fear is not necessarily a bad thing sometimes. But we got baptized because we feared hell. We were scared to death that something would happen to us and we would not make it into heaven. And now that we've understood more, we've grown in our faith and all, we recognize that our walk with God is about the best life we can have, and that's through Jesus Christ. And the perfect love has replaced that fear. 1 Peter 1:3-5, he says, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth," or given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith we are shielded by God's power in the coming salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last day. My question for you, are you ready for that day? I talked to my father last week. He's getting feeble. He's going to die one day. I buried several friends over the past year. I had a dream last week, crazy dream. I was in Peru with those of us who are going to go hiking. And in the dream, they told me I was going to die and I'd never make it back home. wasn't a scary dream, but it was a disturbing dream. But one of the things that I know for sure is that all of us are going to have to face death one day. And I'm going to live my life the best I can right now for Christ. I'm going to enjoy what I can here on this earth, but I'm going to tell you this. This world is not my home. And I am going to live for eternity with Christ because His Word promises me that if I am buried with Him through baptism, that I am going to enjoy a resurrection. And I want you to hear my words today because all of us need to be together again in heaven. And I don't want to see a single person that I know, that I love, not be there with me. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. This water symbolizes baptism. Talking about Noah and the ark. This water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of the dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are people that tell me all the time, Neil, baptism is just a work. You need to quit preaching about baptism because it's just a work. It is not a work. Baptism in and of itself does not save you. If it did, every time my brothers dunked me under the water at the pool, I would be saved. Baptism saves you because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not because you're doing it. And it says it is the pledge of a good conscience toward God. And I want you to just underline those words, a pledge of a good conscience toward God, because I want you to think about what a pledge is. I think the first thing that comes to mind is I pledge allegiance to the flag. But the idea behind this pledge is not a pledge by something you say, it is a pledge by something you offer. In other words, if I'm going to buy a car, I will pledge that I'm going to buy that car and I'll be back in an hour and here's $500. And what you're saying to God when you're buried in Christ through baptism is I'm pledging my life to you so that I can spend eternity with you. I hope I've made baptism clear. And I hope that you understand in order to be baptized, you must first hear the Word of God. You must believe the Word of God. You must turn towards God. And that you have to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died for your sins. That means if you were baptized as an infant, and I'm so thankful for your spiritual heritage, but you couldn't hear the Word, you couldn't decide for yourself, so you need to decide for yourself as an adult. And if you're here today and you've got this idea that maybe my baptism wasn't correct, maybe I didn't do it right, maybe I wasn't baptized for the remission of sins, whatever it is, we have elders here, we have myself here, we'll be glad to discuss it with you. But if there's one thing I want you to go away from here today, understanding, that is, if you want to be in the right relationship with God, it's not that you're going to ever be perfect, so don't wait on perfection. If you want to be in the right relationship with God, it comes down to a decision you have to make, and that decision is that you're going to follow Christ for the rest of your life, and you're going to begin that journey by being baptized with Him. The lesson is yours as we stand and sing.